recap. Children, if you would, just quietly go out so we can get started here. Now, some of you were not here on Wednesday, and maybe some of you have not heard the message that we begin, but the Lord is impressed in my spirit that He wants us to be a generation of harvesters. And I know from experience that whenever there's a revelation, whenever there's a rhema that God wants to impress into our spirit, you know, one time I believe it was Oral Roberts said that really a pastor should preach a message of revelation seven times so that the people can absorb and receive what God has for them. Because, you know, we don't all, you know, grow at the same rate. We don't all have the same level of faith. But the Word is good, and the Word will produce exactly what it's sent to do. Amen? So let's read this, and then let me just kind of go over some things, because I want every one of you to get this, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Look at verse 26, Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, Jesus speaking here, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And verse 29 says, but when the grain ripens, immediately, make sure you got that underlined, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So we're talking today about how to reap our harvest, and we're talking about specifically how to reap our harvest for debt-free living, how to reap our harvest so that we'll be the heads and not the tails and the lenders and not the borrowers, and how to reap our harvest so that we'll live this abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And so there's some things, and before I really got into the meat or the heart of the message, the Lord impressed me to tell you why we need to teach these things. In other words, what are the motivations behind why we would teach that we need to be proficient at reaping our harvest? You know, it's not that we haven't learned how to sow and give, but it's really that we have not learned to reap a harvest. You know, God, again, has a plan, and in that plan is learning the principles and the precepts of the Word of God so that we come behind in no good thing. Are you with me, church? Okay. And so the first purpose or the first motivation that I taught you or said that we really need to get understanding on, and the reason that God wants us to be excellent at reaping our harvest, is because our harvest connects us to souls. The financial harvest in our lives connects us to the harvest of souls. Now, I use the scripture, and I'll just give you the scriptures. We won't have time to go back and look at all the scriptures. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 35, where Jesus talked about the fields that were wide unto harvest and that were ready to be harvested. And that was the first motivation. It's got to be about souls. It's got to be about, I want God to increase in my life. I want to be able to reap the harvest so I can be more effective in doing more for the kingdom of God, for my church, and for outreaches and everything that would be needed to get this gospel out. Because if we've already stated, you know, it takes money to get the gospel out. Amen. It takes money to run churches, just like it does our household. So that's got to be our first motivation. It's about winning people to the Lord. And the second one I told you about is in Luke chapter 12. And it's a motivation that we need to really understand, because it's a parable about a rich man. He learned how to increase. He learned how to financially prosper, but he didn't know what to do when it began to prosper. He began to hoard it up. And so God has not called us to be hoarders or to store or to build bigger barns. Are you with me? But that we are to be a distributor of the wealth or the increase that God puts in our life. So the harvest is for souls, and the harvest is for distribution. Are you with me? Amen. Say it with me. Say the harvest that I am to reap is for souls, and it's for distribution. And then the third one I give you, I'm talking about motivation. Now, why do we teach this? Why are we learning these things on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night? The third one, I give you the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Again, you can just write these down, those that weren't here, and so on and so forth. It talks about the release of these finances and the blessing that God gives to us so we can be debt-free, so we can be lenders and not be the borrowers. Are you with me? It means that we increase so that we can be ministers to the poor and the needy. And again, let me just restate what has been said this morning. It is very selfish to have the religious mindset that you don't want anything in return for what you give to God. That again, that is a selfish motive, okay? Because God wants to give you back a increase or from your harvest or to reap your harvest so it can be used for distribution. It's not just so we can personally enjoy it, but so that we can be distributors of the finances it takes to enlarge and to expand the kingdom of God. And then the fourth one I told you was kind of a personal thing for me, because I want to see our church, and I confess this over our church, I want our church and the people of this church to be debt-free. I want you to have, listen, I want you to have the best jobs. I want you to have the highest paid jobs. I want you to have businesses and business ventures and contracts and investments. I want to see God just heap on you all the blessing that you're able to handle. That's a personal thing with me. And that's why I confess these things over. And I told the people Wednesday night, see, when you come into this church, if you don't know this, you're coming in to a debt-free environment. Let it rub off on you a little bit. Amen. So we can get it out of the church into the pew. Amen. And if we can get it in the pew, then we can take it home and rub it off in our house. How many of you'd like to be debt-free? How many would like for you, oh, no man, nothing but to love him? All right, well, that's what we confess over you. That's what we believe God for you. But I shared this, that God is not grieved because we are not givers. For the most part, this church has learned how to give over the years. That's why we are debt-free. That's why we have the things that we have. So it's not so much that we haven't learned to be givers. But I believe what God is saying and where we're grieving the Holy Spirit is we have not become proficient, or if you, I could say it another way, we have not become effective harvesters. Learning to harvest from the seed that we have sown. And I came back and I gave you four Bible truths. I believe what God is saying to us, that he wants us to be, in these last days, the generation of harvesters. And we're going to have to learn, listen, we're going to have to learn to be efficient harvesters, just like we have to learn to be good givers. And sometimes we focus on the giving part or the sowing part, but we haven't focused on the harvesting part. And the harvest has to come in order for you to be the distributor, in order for you to get your bills paid and to get out of the bondage and the stress of lack and debt. Come on, are you with me this morning? Okay, so let me give you these four. And we started on these Wednesday, but I want to give them to you quickly and get to Scripture, and then we'll get to the other part of the message here. The first one is that reaping is not a new idea. It's not a new concept. We give the scripture in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and it talks about while the earth remains, it says seed time and harvest. It talks about being cold and heat, winter and summer, and night and day. And as long as the earth remains, these things are this seed time and harvest law will not cease. Okay? And so Genesis chapter 2, now listen to this, talks about Adam. The first gift that God gave Adam was seed. And so God gave Adam that seed so that seed could be planted so that Adam would have from the seed that was planted, from the garden that he was instructed to cultivate and to tend and to take care of, produce the provision or to meet his need. That's found in Genesis chapter 2. Then Matthew chapter 6. See, this is something you find from cover to cover. It's not just something we take out of the Bible and make us a fancy doctrine that, you know, fits our theology. This is something that we see running all the way through the Word of God. Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6 said, look at the birds. He told us an example here of how the birds, he said, they don't even sow or reap, but yet your Heavenly Father supplies them food to eat. But he went on to say something. He said, and you are better than the birds. You are more valuable than the birds. You know why you're more valuable than the birds? Because you have the ability to sow and to reap and to store up so you can distribute. How many knew you were better than the bird? But yet God loves the bird. And God supplies the seed to the bird, but he also supplies seed to you. And so he's given you the responsibility to harvest the seed that he's given to you. Are you with me? And so, is reaping a new concept? What's the answer? No. Okay, here's the second one. Here's the second Bible truth I give you about reaping. It's not automatic. Well, let me ask you a question. Is reaping automatic? Does it happen just because I'm a Christian? No, because As Brother Marvin said a while ago, there's always opposition. Everything would be okay if it wasn't for the devil. But the devil's still real, amen? And the devil still wants to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So if we just lay back and do nothing, never put our armor on and never fight the good fight of faith, I'm telling you, the devil's going to rip you off. He's going to see you oppressed, depressed, suppressed, and he's going to see you down, down, down. But you got to learn to put your foot on the devil's head and say, enough is enough. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus Christ is my Lord, and he's already defeated you. And one of the things he went to the cross for, he became poor that I might become rich. So you got to learn to confess what God says about you and who you are in the Lord. Amen. And so in Mark 4:29 is the scripture. It tells us who does the sowing. Well, the sower does the sowing. And it tells us who does the growing. Who does the growing? God. Are you with me? And who does the harvesting? We do. Who gives us a seed? Who causes the seed to grow? Who's responsible to sow it? Who's responsible to harvest it? Okay, if you'll just get that concept and get that mindset, then we find out that it is our responsibility to reap. It is you and my, our responsibility to be reapers of the seed that we have sown. I use the scripture in Proverbs chapter 10. And let me just read it out of the living Bible, okay? Chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. It says, lazy men are soon poor and work hard, or hard workers to get rich. It says, a wise youth makes hay while the sun shines. My grandfather used to say that to me, and I never figured out where he got that. I'm not even sure the Living Bible was around when he was saying that. But it says it in the Living Bible. It says, make hay while the sun shines, but what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away his hour of opportunity. So we don't want to be sons and daughters that cause shame to our Heavenly Father. We want to work while it is day, amen, and make hay while the sun is shining. And the fourth truth is, and we found the scripture, let me give it to you, it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, that there's a time to plant, there's a time to sow, and there's a time to reap, okay? James chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, He said, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for the harvest is white, or it's already white unto harvest. In other words, it's time for us to get up and to get into the fields, plural, more than one. How many know that God's got several fields for us to harvest? There's a harvest of souls. There's a harvest of finances. There's a harvest for your healing. There's a harvest for your deliverance. There's a harvest of all the good and the perfect gifts that God has. Amen? There's a harvest for them, but we've got to learn how to be proficient and become excellent at reaping. And so today, you know, I don't know again how far we'll get in this, but I want to talk to you about the five qualities of a successful harvester. That's really what we're learning to do. You could subtitle this you could cite it this way, the rules for reaping. Now, remember, we're not into formulas. We're not into, you know, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, do this. But I do give you some things that you can have in your understanding, because I'm not taking for granted that everybody knows these things. I'm not taking for granted one moment that everybody's at a level, you know, where they've heard these things. Now, you're going to probably say, now, I've heard some of this, and maybe you have heard some of it, but you haven't heard all of it. And I'm asking you today to put on a fresh set of ears. Amen. Fresh set of ears so you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. How many of you want to be successful harvesters? Amen. I mean, how many of you want to get to a place where you can reap from all of the seed that you have sown? See, some of you get a little lower and lower as I get a little deeper and deeper in this thing. So let me give you the five qualities of a successful harvester. The first one is a successful harvester is one who is a faithful tither. Thank you for those few weak amens. Now turn over to Malachi, I'm not going to leave any stone unturned here as we talk about this, because I think this is a word from God. This is a rhema for you to get down in your spirit, because when your spirit is stricken, when it strikes your heart, then you'll respond to the word of God. Amen. You won't respond just because somebody says something. You'll respond because the Holy Spirit quickens these things to you. And if you're going to be a successful reaper, first of all, you're going to have to be a faithful tither. Now look what it says here. We most of us, again, know this scripture, but look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Have you found it? Okay, so check yourself on these things. Check yourself and see where you are spiritually on these things. It's real easy to do, okay? I mean, you're either doing these things or you're not doing these things. But if you're going to be, you know, an excellent harvester and successful harvester, there's going to have to be some Bible things that you and I got to make sure that they're happening and doing in our life. Well, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you, what? The windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And verse 12 says, and all the nations, or all the people, will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now notice here, see, I read this scripture to you because immediately you think it's talking about tithe, but it's talking really about a harvest. It's talking about being able to sow and to reap from the seed that you have sown. Are you with me? So there's a truth here about tithing. Let me just give you some simple truths about tithing, okay? Tithing is not sowing. You have not sown seed until you have tithed. Tithing is honoring God. Tithing is what the Bible called a hallow thing or a sacred thing, that really the only time that we are to touch it is when we present it to God. That's what it tells us in the book of Numbers and also in the book of Leviticus, that the tithe belongs to God and it is holy. Amen? So the tithe is 10% of everything that comes into our hand. And until we have faithfully tithe, we are in effect not planting seed, because the tithe is not seed. You do tithing. Now let me just say this too, because I didn't get a chance to say this a while ago in the offering. And this is what we demonstrate in our giving. But listen to this. Tithing is done with our mouth. Tithing, the tithe, is what we speak in words over the tithe. That's why it's important we get out of the religious ruts and the religious mold, and that when we have that tithe in that offering envelope, that we speak over it the word of God, the blessing of God. It belongs to God. Are you with me? And so tithing is something we do by what we say. 10% of everything that comes into our household. Sometimes people say, well, the gross or the net. 10% of everything that comes into your hand, it belongs to God. And that's a holy part. And in verse 11 again, look, what did he say? He said, I will rebuke the devourer. Do you know what the devourer is? Literally, the devourer is, you know, and I know spiritually we think, well, that's the devil. But the devourer, you know what the devourer means here literally? In the language, it means the seed eater. When I tithe, now listen to this. Here's the revelation. When I tithe, I am protected from the seed eater. So that the seed, or that which I plant above my tithe, is protected from the seed eater. Remember those commercials when you used to spray the ants? And that Raid commercial, and the ants or the insects said, Raid, Raid! Well, when you're a tither, and when you plant your offering, the devourer says, tithe, tithe, tithe! And you're protected from the one that eats your seed. Are y'all here? Okay, so if you're going to be a successful reaper and reap from the harvest, from the seed you sow, you've got to understand, I've got to be a faithful tither. Amen? I've got to become just as consistent and faithful at tithing and doing the tithe as any part of my Christian walk and my Christian life. It ought to be not even anything you have to think about anymore, but just how much you want to praise and give God thanks for everything that he puts in your hand. The second thing to be a successful harver, now this is a little bit, let me lay this out for you, because it entails three parts here. A successful harvester is a spirit-led, obedient, and a generous sower. Let me say it one more time. A successful harvester is a spirit-led, obedient, and a generous sower. Now, we can't sow until we faithfully tithe. Now, turn with me over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, remember, I told you a lot of these scriptures, these first two things I'm giving you, a lot of you know these things, but get some fresh ears to hear what I'm going to say. The last three, I don't think you've heard. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, remember, God has a plan. How many times have we said that today? Part of that plan is for you to be successful in life. Part of that plan is so that you become, if you will, beneficiary of your blessing. The fullness of God's blessing for your life and for your family. Now look at this. Let's read in verse 6. Let me read some verses here to you. Refresh your thinking here. Open your ears to hear. But I say this, verse 6. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? All right. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace, how much? Abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in how many things? All things, may have an abundance for every good work. Pay attention to the words there. It's important. As it is written. Remember, our motive is about souls. It's about being distributors, giving to the poor, giving to the needy, being the head, not the tail, being debt-free, living the life that is not stressed out because all we can do is live from hand to mouth. It says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower, who's that? Huh? Who supplies the seed? Okay. Now, you can either be like a bird and eat your seed, or you can learn to be more valuable than the bird and sow so you can reap. Okay? He says, not only does he supply seed to the sower and bread for food, but he what? He supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. In other words, here is the cycle that comes around. We begin to sow, then we begin to reap our harvest, we begin to increase, and then we become distributors. We have our need met. Now we're a blessing because we've been blessed. And when we give to the poor, when we give to the needy, when we meet a need, when we supply for an outreach, we get to now complete the cycle. And not only do we give thanks to God, but those that we give to give thanks to God. And it's all about giving thanks to God. It's all about seeing the gratitude that we have once God has met our need. Oh, I tell you, church, you got to get a hold of this because it's a cycle of completion. Okay, so you got to look at this aspect. The quality of a successful reaper is he's got to be spirit-led. He's got to be spirit-led by his sowing. Look at chapter 2 again in verse 9 and 7. It says, as he what? As he purposes in his heart. Verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. The Phillips translation, we don't have that on the computer, but let me just give it to you. It says, let each one give as his heart tells him. If you're going to be a successful harvester, you've got to learn to be led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows where to give. The Spirit of God will show you exactly where to give and how much to give. It becomes important because God knows what you need in order for you to reap a harvest that will be efficient for your need and where you will have an abundance and have left over. Let me make sure you're following what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit knows exactly, and he will show you when to give. He will show you how much to give, and he will show you where to give. The Holy Spirit will do that. That's why when you and I give, we can't give out of emotion. We can't be out of compulsion. We can't give because we feel sorry for somebody. A successful harvester learns first of all to give from his heart, because it is our heart, see, that communicates with what? With the Holy Spirit. And sometimes our mind will tell us something else. Sometimes You know, our own bodies will tell us something else. But if we're going to be successful at our harvesting, we've got to learn to be led. That's why you pray. Listen, this is another reason you don't just pray over your offering, but you pray about your offering. You've got to learn, just like God will speak to you to give, He'll also speak to you where to give. Because our seed has to be planted in good ground. Jesus used the parable, right? Natural farmer, natural soil, natural seed, to show us the supernatural, or the spiritual aspect, or the spiritual side. And any good farmer knows you don't plant your seed on asphalt or concrete. That's why our hearts can't be hard. Our heads can't be stubborn. We have to be open to the Spirit of God. When we make a mistake, when we let somebody get up here and pull on us emotionally to give, or try to compel us to give when it's not the Spirit of God that's dealing with us. Okay? Getting to a place where, again, God knows. Now listen, God knows everything. He knows how much you need. See, some of you don't even know how much you need. You just know you need. But He knows how much you need. He knows how much harvest you need to come in, to be the blessing that God has called you to be. And so many times, the bigger or the larger of the seed, if you're being led by God, means what? It means that God has got a large harvest for you. If God is imparting in your heart to give something and your head's going, whoa, 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 then it means that there is a large harvest on the horizon to be reaped. Amen. I'm looking for a place personally. Now, I'll just tell you, I'm looking for a place personally where I can write a check for $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. If there's a need, if there's a situation, if there's a project, and not bat an eye about it. Amen. Not even have to ask my wife. I mean, ask her, but you know, not ask her if we should. Just say, what do you think? Are you listening to me? Amen. Get to a place where you've got not just a bigger barn, but man, you've got the ability to do something. How many of you want to get there? Amen. Well, you've got to do it step by step, line by line, inch by inch. If you can't be obedient with $5, you're not going to be obedient with 50, much less 5,000 or 5 million. Come on, somebody. Okay? So this second part, I told you, was a little bit complex here. We've got to be Spirit-led. And then we've got to be obedient. Now, this is the second part of this number two. We got to be obedient. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. I probably won't get all these today, but I want to get some of them to you. Are y'all here? Okay, don't check out just yet. Genesis chapter 6. 26. So I've got to be, if I want to be a successful harvester, I've got to be Spirit-led, and I've got to be obedient. Can somebody tell me what the definition of obedience is? Just do what you're told. And immediately. Hey, if you tell your children to do something, when do you want them to do it? Right now. Right? Now, here's where we get in trouble. We begin to procrastinate. We get stuck because it's beyond our faith level. God, you're not really saying that, are you? See, we've got to learn. If we're going to be successful harvesters, we got to be Spirit-led. And part of being Spirit-led is listening to the Spirit of God so we can obey what the Spirit of God says. Why would the Spirit of God talk to you if you're going to be tontos? I mean hard-headed. Are you here? You didn't have to translate that one, did you? All right. Now let me use this example to you. Here's Brother Isaac over here in the Old Testament. It says there was a famine. Everybody say a famine. There was a famine in the land. I'm in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. It says, besides the first famine, it wasn't the only one. So there was a recession, and it was getting worse. Gas was going up. Groceries were going up. Everything's going up. Man. It says that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. That's important, isn't it? Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and what? Bless you. So it's important that we be where God wants us to be, okay? For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Well, what was the oath? Well, he goes into part of it in the next verse. He said, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give your descendants all the lands, and all your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Because Abraham obeyed, look at this, my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Or in other words, obedience and being obedient to God is directly related to our blessing. We're not going to be blessed by God to the degree that God wants to bless us, the fullness of God's blessing, without being obedient to what God says. But we've got to be in position to hear what God says so we can obey what God says. Then if you go on and look at verse 12, it says, and Isaac sowed in the land. Now what was going on in the land? There was a famine. There was a recession. It was bad, okay? But what did Isaac do? He had to choose. He was challenged if he was going to look at the circumstances, if he was going to look at the situation, or he was going to obey God. See, this is an example we can look at right here. We always obey God no matter what the situation or the circumstances look like. When we obey God, it'll always take us to the harvest. I said, when we're obedient, it will always bring us into the harvest. He said, now look at this, he sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And I like verse 13, I've read it to you many times, and it says, and the man began to prosper. And continued prosper. He began to prosper, and he continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. For he had great possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Or in other words, people got jealous, and here come the devil. And I tell you, when people see you blessed and see you supernaturally being blessed by God, you're going to have some enemies. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Are you listening to me? So, we have to be obedient and ready to do what God says to do. Okay? And then a successful harvester has to be not just obedient, not just spirit-led, but he has to be a generous sower. Say generous. I know it's hard for some of you. Generous. Generous. Okay. Because we're listening to God, right? We don't serve El Cheapo, El Shaddai. Amen. All right. Now I'll qualify that, so don't get upset with me. All right. Let me read again 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, I'm going to read out of the Moffat. We don't have that one either, but let me just read it to you. He who sows generously will reap a generous harvest. Proverbs 11:24. Proverbs, you might want to look at that one. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. It says, it is possible to give freely and become more wealthy, but those who are stingy, say stingy, will lose everything. Verse 25 out of the New Living Translation. We do have that. You can put that in that version if you get it up there quick enough. It says, the generous prosper and are satisfied. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So here's part of our motivation again, is God wants us to live in a place of abundance so that we can refresh others, so that we can meet needs when the Lord speaks to us of others. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read that out of the New Living Translation too. Just look at the screen because of time here, and I'll give you the scripture. It says, for God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good. Notice, he gives us opportunities to do good. Or we can say opportunities to be obedient. Every time we come, God gives us an opportunity to do good. Amen? And he will produce, look at this, a great harvest of generosity in you. A great harvest of generosity in you. And verse 11 says, yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. So there's that cycle again that causes everyone to give thanks to the Lord. So sowing generously is connected to our hearts. Because there's people, you can't sow what we call large amounts because you don't have it to sow yet. Notice I said you don't have it to sow yet. But you have to be faithful where you're at. You can't get something out of somebody that doesn't have it. When Jesus was in the temple that day and his eyes were on the treasury looking at that widow woman, the Bible said that Jesus said that she gave all that she had. She gave her year's salary, that little two mites in the offering. Are you listening? So Jesus, he looks at our heart, not necessarily at the amount. Now the amount will be connected on the blessing that you have received. You got to get this down because it is strictly from our heart. We the second quality of a harvester is to be spirit-led, to be obedient, and to be a generous giver. You got to let that soak in. That's got to become part of your character. It's got to become the way that you conduct yourself so that you can reap your harvest and what God has given to you. And I want to give you these other three. I'm going to stop because we're going to do communion, but I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to continue this on Wednesday. But the third one, I'll give them to you for your notes, and you can get it later. The successful harvester has to be spirit-led. He has to be obedient. He has to be generous. And we've got to develop that over time. And then the third one, I'll give you this in a couple of scriptures. A successful harvester will know when. Now, you probably hadn't heard too much about this. A successful harvester will know when to reap his harvest. You probably hadn't heard this, but not only will God tell you what to give, but he will tell you when to reap it. Just like a farmer. A farmer, Mark chapter 4, uses that illustration very plainly. That farmer puts that seed in the ground. And he, now, the Bible said that he goes to sleep day and night, night and day, because God is the one that causes it to grow. A good farmer, Paul Jones, he don't go out there, plant his seed one day and you know, start crying and whining, you know, why hadn't this thing come up? One of the ways that you will know that it's harvest time, joy will start building in your spirit. There'll be an anticipation. There'll be a joy there, and it's a good gauge of your faith, because if joy is not evident in your giving, then you probably lack in faith towards your giving. And if you don't have faith in your giving, then your giving is not going to accomplish. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit will show us when to reap. And we need to, I just need to tell you this, we need to redevelop our thinking about becoming good harvesters and get our mind off the fact that we have to sow. We have sown. You have learned to sow. But there's things that we have to relearn as adults. And can I just tell you, it's harder to relearn things as adults than it is when you're a child. That's why God commands that you teach your children these things so they grow up in them. Because if we come to the Lord later in life, it's very difficult. Or we've been trained unbiblically or unscripturally. It's very difficult to teach, you know, old dogs new tricks. If I can use that phraseology. How many know what I'm talking about? It's harder as an adult to relearn something right that they learned wrong in the first place. But you know what? If we're going to be effective and efficient harvesters, we're going to have to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And He'll show us exactly where. We've got a desire. Listen to it. We've got a desire to learn these principles. Y'all just hold on. Don't move just yet, because I'll give you enough time. Listen to me. Not only, let me give you the other two right quick, because I want you to get this. This is so important. This is so important, okay? Isaiah 9:3 says, Israel will again be great, and the people will rejoice as people rejoiced at harvest time. Talking about and comparing the coming of the Messiah and the deliverance of Israel, talking about the joy comes at harvest time. You sow in joy, you wait in joy, and you reap in joy. Because why? God loves what kind of giver? Okay. And then let me just give you 4 and 5, and I'll just tell you about them. The fourth one, a successful harvester will know where to reap his harvest. Not just when, but where. Remember, Jesus told Peter exactly where to put down his net so that he could get the harvest. Hey, if the Holy Spirit can tell you what to give, when to give, don't you think the same Holy Spirit can tell you where you can reap? Mm-hmm. I said, mm-hmm. So I don't want you to miss this. And number 5, and I'll have to pick this up on Wednesday. Number 5, a successful harvester reaps. Now listen to this one. This is the one I had a little struggle with till the Lord began to show me some things here. A successful harvester reaps all of his harvest. Did you hear what I just said? A successful harvester reaps all of his harvest. Let me use the farmer example again. If you have 100 acres and you plant that whole 100 acres and you sweat, you get out there and cultivate and get that thing cultivated, water and take care of it, do you go out there after planting and working that 100 acres only expect to reap 50 of them? I'm just stopping a minute. Let pause, Thila. Let that soak in to you that have ears to hear. Same thing in the spiritual realm. We need to know the state of our flock. See, that's why God, and I confess over our church, I confess over our church is a tithing church. Our church is a sowing church. That's why people like to come here and minister, because they get good offerings. Praise the Lord. So you haven't had any trouble at all learning to give and learning to sow, but we have had some trouble learning to reap. And I said to you a while ago, I want to see you have the best jobs. I want to see you have new jobs that will just bless your socks off. You business people, I want to see you have the I want to see you have contracts above your expectation. I want to see investments, business ventures. Not just so we can roll in the dough, but so we can do more for the kingdom. Sure, you're going to get some fallout. Hello, somebody. Abraham was very rich. He was very blessed. He didn't get it by being stingy, did he? Praise God. Come on, let's stand up a minute. Let me let you stand up.